Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends, to yet another time together in the Word of God. We are no doubt going to finish 1 Samuel chapter 23 today. We have been with David. He has been running here and there, hither and yon, living in forests, living in caves, on the run, packing up the tent, going to the next place. He's going from highs, Jonathan meeting him and encouraging him, to lows, hearing about people that he has loved and served that are betraying him. It's just a roller coaster ride for David. And here we are at the end of 1 Samuel 23. So let me read a couple verses for us. Give me just a moment here as I find my place. Yes, 1 Samuel 23. David is in the plain on the south of Jeshimon in verse 24. Verse 25, Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for David and his men for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. So you just kind of see this cat and mouse, run and hide episode in the life of David.
You know, and here at this event now, it does appear like Saul really is, and he is. Saul is closing in on David. You know, Saul's men are going around David. David goes on one side of the mountain, Saul on the other side of the mountain. But David, Saul's closing in. Saul's about to get him. And Saul thinks this is the day that's going to happen. I can just see Saul seeing this as this all takes place. And here Saul has wasted, who knows how many hundreds of hours on trying to find David, probably even thousands in his life. But nonetheless, a long time he's wasted already on trying to find David. But now he's closing in. And I think Saul can just taste, this is the day I'm going to get David. He can smell blood, so to speak.
And it's important to read the Bible in context and insert ourselves into the text, try to sense the narrative as it unfolds. It's easy to see the hero, David, and we've seen that several times in the passage, but we also need to see the human, David. And in his humanity, hey, he's scared to death. I mean, you've got the elite guard of Saul chasing him, hunting him like an animal, and they're closing in, as you said, John. It's becoming increasingly clear to the men of David that we're running out of hiding places. No doubt by this time they know that they've been betrayed. The locals are telling Saul where he's going. It just seems, humanly speaking, that there's no hope. The Bible says specifically in the verse we just read that for fear of Saul. Do you see that? The middle of verse 26, David made haste to get away for fear of Saul because he was getting surrounded. So think about the dilemma of David. He is making haste, so he's getting kind of out of sorts, you know, just getting knee-jerk reactionary. He's afraid. And he is feeling like he's out of options because he's surrounded. Does that describe maybe a situation that you're facing, my friends?
That's a great thought, Pastor, about David. It is so easy. We talk about David so much being a man of great faith. But David was frail flesh. And the man who penned the Psalms, and we just look at a psalm last episode about David saying, I trust in God. God's going to deliver me and those that help me. David does have great faith in God. But a great faith in God for us does not mean that we will never fail or we will never falter. Sometimes great people who have great faith in God live out of fear rather than out of faith. And even sometimes doubting what God is doing and why God's doing it. I go again, we talked about it, I think a while back, I mentioned even John the Baptist in prison, where John the Baptist sees the miracles that Jesus, he's heard about Jesus, knows, he even pointed out to Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God was taking away the sin of the world." But John's in prison now. Things are not going as John had envisioned they would go. And John sends two messengers to Jesus. Are you he that should come? Or look we for another? And Jesus does a bunch of miracles and says, go back and show John what you've seen. Because Jesus knows that that will encourage John's heart. But John was a great man of God. And yet his understanding lacked. He had some failures in his life along the way. And David right now is frail flesh. He's got to be afraid. He's like a hunted animal. And it appears that Saul has the upper hand.
Faith in God does not eradicate fear in our lives. I mean, fear is a natural emotion that God has given us. You know, if I'm going to see a big black snake in my path, you know, it's actually a benefit God gives us to fear some things. So fear is not a wrong thing. It's wrong to be ruled by fear. Faith does not eradicate fear. It subjugates fear. It makes fear not my primary counselor. And I would say this, if fear is your primary counselor, you're going to make bad decisions. But when you make good decisions in truth and in faith, that doesn't mean that fear is not coincident with those decisions. You can go on in fear because you're making the greater decision of faith. Paul said to Timothy, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. The feelings that you're feeling, Timothy, are not from God. What God has actually given you is he's given you his love. He's given you a sound mind. He's given you power. And what we need to do is we need to put our faith in the reality that is, so that the reality that is, the internal reality that is, subjugates the fear that we feel.
You know, I believe it's looking at David throughout David's life, and even David, the great psalmist that he was. David, without doubt, struggles sometimes in life, and sometimes he speaks to his soul, "My soul, why art thou cast down?" But David saw the big picture of life, that God is in control providentially. David knew he could trust in God, and even when he feared, David did know that God was in charge, that God is in control, and that he could look to God.
Verse number 27, so this bad situation, the look like the end was near. Saul has gotten to the place where he was chasing, but now he's surrounding. So there's no escape now. And it looks as if, man, I'm a goner. And David, his running, his hiding, all of it seems to have come to no avail, and I love that. With God, there's always that divine contrast. But there came a messenger unto Saul saying, "Haste ye and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." You know what God did? God created a wonderful diversion. And here we find the frenetic activity of David. David's running. I'm running. David's running. You know what God does? God turns that things around and says, "David, Saul, you better run."
You know, and God does things in ways that we never even can envision. You know, I don't think that David ever envisioned God bringing the Philistines to attack the land of Israel, but that's what God did. And God can do so much more exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. God's power knows no bounds. God can do whatever God wills to do. And God, sometimes we have in our mind, okay, this is how this could get fixed. God, if you would just do this, this would fix my situation. But God does things so much differently than we envision sometimes, but God knows what is best, and God does what is best for David. He pulls Saul away by the Philistines invading the land.
And I think a couple things are at play here. Obviously, number one, God is, and that's the wonderful thing about God. You know, God can be accomplishing several purposes in one event. And obviously what's happening here is God is delivering David, because at the last minute, and isn't it interesting how God's timing works? But at the last minute, God saves David by diverting Saul's attention. So I love that. That's a last minute deal. But I think another thing that's happening here is that God is being merciful to Saul. Because Saul's about to do the most stupid thing of his life. Saul's about to kill the anointed one of Israel. He's about to kill an innocent man. And what does God do? God says, no, Saul, here's who you ought to be fighting. No, Saul, here's the real enemy. No, Saul, here's the real way to effect your position as king. In essence, what God is doing is saying, hey, Cain, you know, don't be upset about what you should not be doing. Let me give you an opportunity to do what you ought to be doing.
You know, I think this whole chapter, Pastor, how it begins with the Philistines. The Philistines are attacking people in that land. Well, the first occasion, Saul just kind of ignores them. David, we've already discussed all this. But now God has the Philistines attack the land in a way that Saul just cannot ignore it. Saul now has to face it, and Saul has to fight the true enemy. And God does pull Saul away, and he refocuses Saul. And Saul should learn. Saul should know that I can't fight against God. You know, I thought I had David, I didn't. I've got to submit to God. I'll take care of the Philistines and then just rule the rest of my days and following the will of God. God is merciful to Saul. He's showing Saul what Saul should be doing. And God does that in our lives as well, shows us what should be priority in our lives.
He does. Look at verse number 28. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selah Hamalakoth. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but my guess is probably as good as yours in that pronunciation. Let me see. I'm looking where in my Bible that's defined. What are you seeing there?
My Bible has here the Rock of Divisions.
Rock of Divisions. Okay, gotcha. And because certainly that was the location where God divided the enemy from. Yeah, from the carnivore from the prey. Look at verse number 29. And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. Now, we're going to go to En-Gedi next episode. I would love to take you to En-Gedi. John, do you remember En-Gedi?
I sure do. It was a fascinating place to go and visit.
Yeah, En-Gedi is located, it's a wadi. That a wadi is a dry riverbed. Of course, many times of the year it's not dry, most of the time of the year, and it's literally runs down into the Dead Sea, and it's kind of like a two cliffs on either side. There's only one way in, one way out. There's a water source, a huge cave system, and David went to hide there. I'd love to take you there one day, my friends. It's an amazing spot. But we're going to go there in the Bible next episode. So I hope you'll stay with us, and I hope you'll stay engaged. Hope you have a great day today. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.